A probe into a crash which killed a Bishop Auckland teenager remains ongoing more than 2 years later, officers have confirmed. Durham Police confirmed inquiries remain ongoing into a crash on Yarm Road in Darlington on February the 28th, 2024, which claimed the life of 19-year-old Carla Scown. Carla was riding Pillion on a motorbike when it crashed into an HGV near the junction with Barrington Way at about 5:30 p.m. Police launched an investigation after the incident and arrested the 20-year-old driver of the motorcycle. He was later released under investigation. An inquest was opened into her death later that year at Crook Coroner's Court and heard she died of injuries to her upper body and head.
A school that promised a cultural transformation last September has been praised by inspectors for raising aspirations and helping students and staff to flourish. St Aidan's Church of England Academy in Darlington has received a positive assessment in a statutory inspection of Anglican and Methodist report. It comes months after the Northern Lights Learning Trust School implemented a range of changes aimed at driving up standards of conduct and attainment. Laura Porter, who was appointed head of school at the start of the year, said, "We are delighted with the findings in the report because it underlines how we're driving improvements with the support of the trust, the staff and the diocese." The report states, "Learning encourages students to be aspirational, expands their horizons and deepen their personal spirituality." Inspectors praised the school for making bespoke arrangements to provide exceptional support for students with special educational needs, disabilities, or who may be vulnerable. The report also highlights a rich extracurricular programme, with staff encouraging all students to play musical instruments and sports, develop artistic creativity, and try new things. Mrs. Porter added, "Because we are a small school, we get to know every student and understand their individual needs. That shines through the report and chimes strongly with the Trust's vision of shining stronger together."
The first sections of steel are now in place as construction begins on a new hotel in Bishop Auckland. Work is underway on the new 59-bed Northside Hotel in the marketplace. It is being built where the derelict Queen's Head, Postchaise and Monaco buildings once stood, with all three demolished late last year. The hotel is expected to create 95 jobs and includes a bar, a restaurant and parking spaces. The development is part of the wider regeneration efforts across the town, including upgrades to Newgate Street and the Kingsway Square project.
Drinkers have been barred from wearing tracksuits and caps on weekends at a Darlington pub, with under-18s also not allowed through the doors. The new rules were drafted in at the Hot Mist on Tubwell Row just 4 days after it reopened on Tuesday, June the 16th. Owners Phil and Jessica Gamble confirmed on Facebook that no one under the age of 18 will be allowed in the pub, which has been shut for 6 months for refurbishment. And from 6 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, tracksuit bottoms and shorts are now banned, with a dress code also enforcing that all caps be removed when customers walk through the doors.
A historic collection of horse-drawn carriages, amassed by a man who grew up collecting coal on the northeast coast, is going under the hammer in a major auction. The 26 carriages and carts, along with a Victorian London fire engine, a 19th century hearse and a pony-pulled bath chair, represent the life's collection of North Yorkshire businessman Ian Smith, 1944 to 2016. Once a boy scavenging coal from the sands at Redcar Beach, Mr. Smith went on to build one of the country's most outstanding private carriage collections. The 179-lot collection will be sold in an online auction at the York Auction Centre on Thursday, June the 25th, handled by Dougalby Stevenson. The vehicle's origins span two centuries, and range from aristocratic estate transport to pieces that have featured in some of the UK's best-known film and TV dramas, including Victoria, The English Game, and Peaky Blinders. Mr. Smith's passion took off early in the 1900s when he acquired a farm at Cropton, where he bred and reared horses and put together champion coaching teams. The carriages would go on to drive through the likes of Windsor Great Park and Royal Ascot, competing at major events including the Great Yorkshire Show and Royal Windsor. Highlights of the sale include an 1880s body break by renowned coachmakers Peaches and Stone, once owned by the Marquess of Zetland, and a cocking cart from the Spencer family's Althorpe estate. A roof seat break by luxury makers Shanks of London and a town coach by famed Victorian builder John Marston, used in ITV's Victoria, are also expected to bring in the bids.
A restaurant which opened in Bishop Auckland less than 2 years ago appears to have closed for good. The Bake, which also had restaurants on Gosforth High Street and at Eldon Square in Newcastle, opened at the town's new retail park in November 2024, but it now appears to have closed permanently, with chairs removed from inside. The restaurant offered a Lebanese menu, including an all-you-can-eat buffet at £10 per person.
And that brings us to the end of your news. And now it's time for your magazine. And your articles this week include Spider Bill's Booby Trap, Historic Boundary Marked with New Signs, Diabetes Drug on NHS, Flagship Centre Moves Closer, Charity Lobbied the Archers, and Historic Rock Garden Restored.
Spider builds booby trap to catapult prey straight into its web. A spider that can construct an elaborate booby trap to catapult prey directly into its web has been discovered in the Australian rainforest. The ballista spider spends hours at night spinning a cone of silk, which it attaches to a leaf, branch, or the forest floor, near where green tree ants forage. It then retreats to its web with a taut strand of silk and waits for an ant to bite the cone. The bite severs the silk cone from its anchor point, flinging the ant upwards at nearly 4,265 feet per second squared and into the spider's web. Once firmly entangled, the spider wraps up its prey in a silk cocoon to be devoured later. The technique has never been seen before in nature. Professor A.J. Narendra of Macquarie University, Sydney, spent 10 nights in the rainforest near Cooktown, North Queensland, observing the spider's behaviour using high-speed and infrared cameras. We suspect during the final construction stage, the spider adds a pheromone that specifically lures worker ants and induces an aggressive attack, triggering the snare, said Professor Narendra. This seems to be the only case where a spider's web is designed to catch a single prey species. Spiders do not usually feed on ants because they have a large range of defences, including formic acid or venom and stings. They also release chemical signs when attacked, which alert nearby workers to swarm and overwhelm any predator. The green ant is particularly dangerous because it is one of the most advanced social instincts in the animal kingdom, exhibiting astonishing levels of signalling, coordination and cooperation. To overcome such physical and social defences, the ballista spider has developed a way of separating an individual ant from the group and incapacitating it without needing to get too close. During the day, the spider takes refuge on the underside of a leaf above an area where green tree ants are actively foraging and sets to work at night falls, where it can spin its trap undisturbed. Researchers sent the silk to the University of Griesfeld in Germany for detailed analysis. The ballista spider's snare is bioengineered to store elastic energy in the silk and rapidly release it, giving it incredible instantaneous power density, greater than any other specialised silk-based biological catapults, said Professor Narendra. The spider, which was first observed by Professor Greg Anderson, a biomedical research scientist, is yet to be officially named, but has been nicknamed the ballista spider after the ancient Roman weapon that resembled a giant crossbow and could launch iron-tipped bolts or stone projectiles hundreds of feet.
From the Darlington and Stockton Times, the historic boundary marked with new signs. New signs have been unveiled, marking the historic boundary between the North Riding of Yorkshire and County Durham. The markers have been installed along the River Tees, which has formed the border between the two counties for more than 1,000 years, but has been unrecognised for 5 decades. Representatives of Durham County Council, the Historic Counties Trust and the Yorkshire Riding Society attended a ceremonial unveiling at County Bridge in Barnard Castle. Nigel Wilkin of the Yorkshire Riding Society said, "The River Tees has marked the border between County Durham and the North Riding of Yorkshire for over 1,000 years. Despite the indelible place of our two great counties in our history and our hearts, this border has not been properly marked for over 50 years. We are overjoyed to see this omission rectified." Councillor Robbie Ruddis, Chairman of Durham County Council, formally unveiled the signs during the ceremony. Durham County Council has erected 6 pairs of signs at bridges crossing the River Tees, including Winston Bridge, Walton Suspension Bridge, Eggleston Abbey Bridge, County Bridge, Eggleston Bridge and Middleton Bridge. Additional signs marking the boundary with historic Westmorland have also been installed at Lay Seat Edge. Peter Boyce of the Historic Counties Trust said, "We are very grateful to Durham County Council for marking the ancient border between them and to Councillor Ruddis for unveiling the new signs at County Bridge. All signs were funded by the Historic Counties Trust with support from funds raised by Councillor Ross Patterson during his term as Stockton Council's ceremonial mayor."
Charity lobbied the Archers for more climate change storylines, from the Daily Telegraph. The Archers was lobbied by charities to feature more climate change storylines, the Telegraph can reveal. A left-wing charity boasted about educating the creators of the BBC Radio 4 soap opera on how climate change is a story of country folk. Environmental issues have featured in recent plotlines on the programme, with characters Kirsty Miller and Rex Fairbrother pushing for the reintroduction of beavers, and Tom Archer seeking to build a climate-controlled greenhouse to guard against unpredictable weather events. The attempts by left-wing campaigners to influence BBC programming has been laid bare in a Telegraph investigation. Millions of pounds have been donated to so-called narrative change charities, such as Heard, which seeks to promote its agenda by influencing television and radio programming. The BBC has consistently said that it has full editorial control, and outside organisations do not have the power to influence content. UK-registered Heard aims to shift public attitudes, norms and policy preferences by lobbying the media. It runs a programme called Climate Stories That Work, which aims to turn up the urgency on climate action. As part of this programme, the charity claimed to have, in 2021, engaged with teams from The One Show, Shop Well for the Planet, Bite Size and The Archers. Heard reported that its messaging experts worked on a BBC Earth social impact campaign that featured celebrities recreating Sir David Attenborough's narration over Planet Earth 3 clips. The charity provided insights and natural history experts. OCRA, another charity backed by left-wing-leaning foundations, also boasted of meetings with the team behind the arches. The group seeks to work with industry insiders to develop entertainment that changes public perceptions. In a report, the charity noted that in 2023 it held a number of workshops on the issue of health and climate, and that attendees included executive leads from BBC shows such as Casualty and EastEnders. Another meeting, the charity has reported, included representatives from the Jeremy Vine Show, BBC Radio 5 Live's impact journalism team, and the Archers. Narrative change campaigners have worked to influence the public using the media, including by lobbying children's BBC producers and arranging for small boat migrants to appear in the audience of Question Time, The Telegraph revealed last week. A BBC spokesman said, "The BBC has full editorial control over all its content. It is common practice across the media industry to engage with charities for research purposes and to help understand different perspectives when working on programmes or news stories."